This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحديث اليوم عن تواضعه صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Today we'll talk about his humbleness عليه الصلاة والسلام. And by far, humbleness as a trait or as an attribute, a characteristic, as many scholars will call it, سيد الأخلاق, the master of all traits and all attributes and all characteristics is humbleness. But the genuine or the actual humbleness, not the artificial type of humbleness where it is worn as a front to cover up hidden arrogance. As some scholars would say, the person who says or claims they are humble are basically saying they are arrogant. When you say I'm humble, then you're saying I'm actually up here, but I bring myself nice and down so that everyone can be. So that's just arrogance in disguise. Humbleness is basically understanding the reality of oneself, understanding just being realistic, just remembering that we're all from the soil of the earth, and there's really nothing that makes anyone better than anyone else, and accepting that fact, and having full comprehension of it, and actually believing in it. And that's how he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. His humbleness was genuine, it came to him naturally. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They show true humbleness towards the believers. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أو وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your wing for the believers. And it's a symbol. It's a figure of speech. قَفْضُ الْجَنَاحِ is as if your wings are there to soar and to fly, and you will bring it down to earth for the believers to step on or to cushion their step. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in multiple hadith commands us to take this attribute seriously. And in Allah awha ilayya an tawadhu hatta la yafkhara ahadun ala ahadin wa la yabghiya ahadun ala ahadin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me that you must show humbleness so that no one will look down or condescend towards anyone else, and no one will oppress or transgress against anyone else. Kana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they describe him, kana yaqdimu dayfah. He would serve his guest. وَيَخْصِفُ نَعْلَهُ and he would fix his shoes. وَيَحْلِبُ شَاتَهُ and he would milk his cow or his sheep. وَيَكْنُ سُدَارَهُ and he would sweep his house. وَكَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was always preoccupied with the service of his family. كان يأكل على التراب. He would put his food on the dirt or on the soil and eat. وينام على الرصيف. When he got tired, he would sleep on the curb outside. عليه الصلاة والسلام. These are just characteristics that Aisha and Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud saw and described him as. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Say in the hadith, لا في حديث الصحيحين لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى المسيح ابن مريم. Don't say of me or don't describe me as the Christians describe Jesus, peace be upon him. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ Say, I'm the servant of Allah and his messenger. Hadith, Imam Ahmad, that they came to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, some of the Sahaba, and they started saying, أَنْتَ سَيِّدُنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُنَا وَأَنْتَ عَظِيمُنَا You're the best of us. You are our master. Out of love for him, alayhi salatu wasalam, they came. And towards the end of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, those who had spent a lot of time with him and felt that there was not much left time to spend with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, would get emotional, so they come and say stuff like this. And the khayruna, you're the best of us, wa sayyiduna, wa ibnu sayyidina. They would start saying beautiful things about him, alayhi salatu wasalam, in compliment. فَكَانَ يَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ لَا تُنزِلُونِي إِلَّا الْمَنْزِلَةَ الَّتِي أَنزَلَنِيَ اللَّهُ إِيَّاهَا Don't give me anything aside from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. قُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ Say, the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he preferred, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people came and complimented him. After one of the battles, it's unclear which one it was, the hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam would ask the Sahaba, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ Do you miss anyone? I mean, is there anyone that the head counts, is there anyone missing, anyone of us that didn't make it? فَيَقُولُونَ لَا we've done everyone's here. فَقَالَ هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ Seriously, there's no one that's missing? فَقَالُوا لَا No, everyone's here. فَقَالَ بَلْ أَفْقِدُ جُلَيْبِيبَ Julaybib is not here. And Julaybib was a servant. He was a slave. was freed maybe a couple of months before. He had very little wealth. So the Sahaba naturally didn't really know him that much and didn't include him in the headcount that they were doing. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. قال I can't find Julaybib. فذهب يفقده. He went to look for him. فوجده في القوم. He found him amongst the people who were dead. وبجانبه سبعة قد قتلهم. And around him were seven of the mushrikeen that he had fought and killed, and he was a martyr. He was a martyr amongst them. فقال هذا مني وأنا منه. هذا مني وأنا منه. This person is a piece of me, and I am of him. This person is of me and I am of him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quluna hatta tamannayna law kunna makanahu. Until some of us started to wish that we were in his spot. We were this simple person who passed away and died in the battle from what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Towards the end of his prophecy, alayhi salatu wa sallam, before he passed, for a short period of time, he was revered as the ruler of the majority of Arabia. So people from all over the land would come to meet him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Medina, and to announce their Islam or to learn from him, and take some knowledge. So there was a man who had come from one of the tribes to learn, but he had heard so much about the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he was in a state of severe reverence of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. He had haybah of the Prophet. So he came by him alayhi salatu wa sallam, to speak to him, and he got very scared to the point he was shaking. He was standing there speaking to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he was obviously... He was visibly nervous and he was visibly anxious as he was speaking. So the Prophet ﷺ come up to him and put his hand around him. فَيَقُولُ يَا هَذَا هَوَّنْ عَلَيْكَ. Oh, take it easy. إِنَّمَا أَنَا ابْنُ امْرَأَةٍ كَانَ تَأْكُلُ الْقَدِيدَ بِمَكَّةِ. I'm just the son of a lady who used to eat beef jerky in Mecca. She would take, because it was cheap, you would just take it and put it in the sun and eat it and hold on to it because they didn't have enough money. Why are you so, take it easy, there's nothing. Nothing to be, I'm not that, what you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No reason for you to feel the way you feel, alayhi salatu wa sallam. One of my favorite stories, probably, in all of the seerah. And I think it reflects true humbleness. You may disagree, but I think that's what this actually reflects. And you have a couple of them, but this one here specifically is very nice. And you find it in the Sahihain, and you find the long narration that I like in the collection of Imam Ahmad, where the Prophet, alayhi salatu wa sallam, was on his mule or his donkey. And he would see Mu'adh and he would ask Mu'adh to get on. He asked me to jump and sit behind him. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ امْشِي. You know, I'll walk beside you. فَقَالَ اركب يا مُعَاذ. Get on the donkey. The Prophet ﷺ would commonly do this. He would get on his mule or donkey or his horse, and he would just take strolls ﷺ into the wilderness or into the woods and just kind of walk around and look and سَبِّح and just contemplate. And if you saw any of the Sahaba, like Abu Dharr specifically, or Mu'adh specifically, he would take them with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would contemplate with them. That's why we have some of the most beautiful narrations that come from these little strolls. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu would jump on the donkey with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. قَالَ فَثَارَ الْحِمَارِ. The donkey didn't like it. So once Mu'adh got on, the donkey did what a donkey can do. And he sent the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Mu'adh flying. فَثَارَ الْحِمَارِ and he got upset and he threw them into the air. فَسَقَطُوا وَسَقَطَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَسَقَطَ الْحِمَارِ وَسَقَطَ الْحِمَارِ. All three of us, fell on the floor. فَقُمْتُ أَسِفًا أَسِفًا. I got up very upset. How could I do this? Ever slip in public? What is your first reflex when you slip in public? You act like it didn't happen. You get up, you brush off, and you just keep on going, hoping no one saw you. And that just comes from a little bit of, that's a problem. This is something I was taught at a young age. The reason you do that is because you're taking yourself a little bit too seriously. You think too much of yourself, so you don't want your image to be shook. So you get up and you feel very bad. Because you don't want people to, you brush off and you act like nothing. Even though you probably, injured yourself pretty badly. Like you're probably in a lot of pain, but you'll walk it off just so that no one's acting as if it didn't happen. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in this example, he fell off his donkey with Mu'adh. So Mu'adh felt that way. Mu'adh wanted this not, he looks, قَالَ فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَضْحَكُ. The Prophet alayhi salam is laughing. قَامَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَى يَضْحَكْ فَأَقَامَ الْحِمَارِ. He gets up and he brings up the donkey. ثُمَّ رَكِبَ عَلَيْهِ فَأَرْدَفَنِي. And then he got up and he put me on again. فقال يا معاذ فقلت لبيك وسعديك يا رسول الله فقال يا معاذ فقلت لبيك وسعديك يا رسول الله فقال لي يا معاذ فقلت لبيك وسعديك يا رسول الله فقال ما حق الله على العباد قال حق الله فقلت الله ورسوله أعلم فقال حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه لا يشركوا به شيئا فقال ما حق العباد على الله يا معاذ فقلت الله ورسوله أعلم فقال حق العباد على الله أن إذا فعلوا ذلك أن يدخلهم الجنة فقال يا رسول الله أفأبشر الناس قال إذن يتكلوا صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. This is the known hadith. But to me, the reason I think it's a good example of humbleness is because when he fell عليه الصلاة والسلام, he was laughing. He thought it was hilarious. He thought that this was, he didn't have that, if you understand what I mean, that urge to get up, brush it off, and act like nothing happened. That he didn't have it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't take himself that seriously. Because he didn't have that self-image that we do. Because he wasn't trying to prove anything, and he didn't have it, understand what I mean? That sometimes you need a moment, you need an example to prove the realness of something within somebody. And alayhi salatu wasalam, this example to me just proved that he didn't care. Like what people saw and what people thought and how people didn't mean anything to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Once he was sitting in a majlis and he talked about a certain type of shokas sa'dan, it's called. It's a certain type of plant that is only somewhere in the mountains. That only someone who spent his childhood poor would know about it. I'm not sure if this makes any sense to you. So if you live in rural parts of Middle East, based on what culture or what knowledge you have as a child or what things you know about, says what type of childhood you had. Like certain things, if you know certain things, you probably had a pretty rough upbringing. So the Prophet ﷺ was talking, he was giving an example. He was talking about sirat, and he said on it as there are hooks, and they look like shokas sa'dan. So they said, hold on, shokas sa'dan? How do you know anything about shokas sa'dan? How do you know about this, Ya Rasulullah? Anywhere where do you get the knowledge of this? This is only known by people who spent. فَقَالَ مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ. And this is another example. Alayhi salatu wasalam wasn't ashamed of his background. He wasn't ashamed of his upbringing. He wasn't ashamed that he grew up very poor and with very little. Alayhi salatu wasalam didn't. فَقَالَ إِنَّ مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا وَمَا مِن نَبِيٍّ أَرْسَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَرَعَ الْغَنَمِ. There is no prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted prophecy before, except this person was a shepherd of sheep. وكنت أرعى الغنم في جبال مكة لأهلها على قراريط. And I used to, as a shepherd for sheep for the people of Mecca in the mountains. I used to, as a kid, that's what I had. That's قراريط, meaning a small, yeah, pennies. They used to give me a little bit of money, and I would take their sheep and go and do راعي for it somewhere in the mountains. So I know, I know شوكس سعد صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. في الحديث عند الإمام أحمد أيضا والترمذي. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام narrated. Oh, this hadith sorry, is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood. قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يجلس بين أصحابه حتى لا يعرف الغريب أيهم هو فإذا جاءوا يسألون عنه عليه الصلاة والسلام. كان عليه الصلاة والسلام يجلس بين أصحابه كأن واحدا منهم. He would sit amongst his Sahaba as if he's one of them, to the point where if a غريب walked in, he wouldn't know who's رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The person walking in wouldn't know who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. You'd have to ask which one of you is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فقلنا نجعل لك دكانا من طين. Do we make a small anything for you, ya Rasulullah? فأبا. He said, no, I don't want it. فجعلناها له. We did it anyways. حتى إذا دخل الناس عليه عرفوه. But we did it anyways because it was getting ridiculous. People come in to visit and they don't know which one it is. They felt very bad. He didn't care عليه الصلاة والسلام, but they didn't think it was appropriate. قال فدخل عليه رجل أعرابي. And then a man from the Arab came in. فقال السلام عليك يا محمد صلى الله عليه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Like that. He's Rasulullah saying of the Sahaba. He came in, السلام عليك. قال فرد عليه السلام صلى الله عليه وسلم وأحسن. And he returned his salam and he did it in a beautiful way. Even though the Sahaba weren't very happy with the way this person was speaking. كان يقف صلى الله عليه وسلم مع العجوز ومع الأعرابي ساعات حتى ينصرفوا. He would stand عليه الصلاة والسلام with an elderly person or with an Arabi, a Bedouin, for hours as they speak and ask questions and talk and tell stories. And he wouldn't leave عليه الصلاة والسلام until they would. Like he would stand there and he would listen to them go on and on and on. And عليه الصلاة والسلام was extremely busy. He had a very, very busy life. But he would stand and he would listen to them and explain as they explained themselves. He wouldn't move alayhi salatu wasalam until they did. Once he was eating, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, hadith is Imam Ahmad Tirmidhi. He's eating with a bunch of slaves. A number of slaves, Muslims, had put together a little bit of tamar, and they wanted to eat, so they went and they called the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to come and eat with them. So he accepted and he came and he ate with them, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he sat, he used to sit with one knee up and the other one under him. Then he's eating and he's talking to them. So a lady would walk by, one of the munafiqat. We don't have a lot of examples of munafiqat. This is probably the only one that we have. And she would say, "Unzuru ilayhi," look at him. "Yajlisu kama yajlisu al-abdu wa ya'kulu kama ya'kulu al-abd." Look, he sits like a slave and he eats like a slave. فَرَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He's like this. He puts his head up. He looks like, "Qala, وَمَنْ أَعْبَدْ مِنِّي." And who's more of a slave than I am? أَكُلُ كَمَا يَأْكُلُ الْعَبْدُ وَأَجْلِسُ كَمَا يَجْلِسُ الْعَبْدُ. I eat like a slave and I sit like a slave because that is what I am, صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. يقول لو دعيت في الحديث عند المتفق عليه لو دعيت إلى كراع لأجبت ولو أهديت كراعا لقبلت. If I was ever asked to go to a feast where it's كراع, in our كراعين they call it, is when here, if you're this is how you know if you've been westernized or not. If you don't know what this is or you've never eaten in your life, then they have successfully westernized you. So the feet of the sheep, if you've ever eaten the hand and the feet of the sheep, now see people are already faces like this. No, you need to go and eat this and go back to your roots. This is something that all your grandcestors have ate until they filled their stomachs for many, many years. But it was seen as a very simple type of food. Like it was not a high, obviously, if you're going to be asked to eat meat, you're looking to eat the actual meat of the sheep. Yani the shoulder, the thighs. But the feet is for the fuqara. Yani whenever they slaughtered a sheep, they would give the intestines and the feet to the poor, and they would make some food out of it. And it's actually pretty good. I don't like it. It's okay. I don't like it either. So, you know, I was forced to eat it as a kid, and I don't like it still, so it's fine. I'm just joking with you. But the Prophet ﷺ would say, لَوْ دُعِيتُ إِلَىٰ كُرَىٰ. If I was called for a feast of that, I would go. And if they gave it to me as a gift, I would accept it. I wouldn't take offense to it. I wouldn't feel that they're just giving me the feet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's explaining something. Let me tell you this. 10, 15 years later, after he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, just to understand that true humbleness will rub off. Umar ibn al-Khattab would be seen working with Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais. Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais, Ahad Sadat al-Arab, one of the great noblemen of the Arab. And they were fixing something on a road, picking up boulders and paving. They were just working. فَقَالُوا يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَيْتِ بِعَبْدٍ يَفْعَلْ هَذَا. Get one of the servants to do this for you. فَقَالَ عُمَر. This is what he said. قَالُوا وَمَنْ أَعْبَدُ مِنِّي وَمِنَ الْأَحْنَفِ. And who's more of a servant or a slave than me and Ahnaf? مَا وَلِيَ أَحَدٌ أَمْرًا مِنْ أُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِلَّا وَكَانَ عَبْدًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْخَادِمِ لِسَيِّدِهِ مِنَ النُّصْحِ وَالْخِدْمَةِ وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ. There is no one that will take any form of authority for the Muslims except he is a servant and a slave to the Muslims. Upon him, the duty upon that person is the duty upon a servant to his master in serving him and offering him good advice and being someone who is trustworthy with them. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. This is what, sometimes it's important to see the reflection of what the teachings were. This is what Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab learned from the Prophet ﷺ. I am a servant to the Muslims, so I'll do anything. I'm a slave to I'm in a position of authority, so I'm here to serve them. And that concept of, as he would say, radiallahu anhu, when they talked about Abu Bakr once, because Umar al-Khattab, in his time, the Muslim Khilafah became really big. It wasn't like that in Abu Bakr. So some people would say certain things about Abu Bakr, maybe he wasn't as good, or maybe he shouldn't have done that, or whatever. He said something, just a derogatory remark about Abu Bakr. So the Umar al-Khattab got upset. فَيَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ ثَمَّتَ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ لَيْلَةٍ لَوْ كُنْتُ شَعْرَةً فِي صَدْرِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لِي. There's a night for Abu Bakr in his life. If I was just a hair on his chest, it'd be better than my whole life. And he's speaking of the night of Hijrah, radiallahu anhu wa arda. And this is not... what I'm trying to explain, and this is not made up, I mean, it's not artificial. He's not just saying that. That's how he felt. That's how he felt. Because that's the reality. Because that night that Abu Bakr had with the Prophet, ﷺ, nothing comes close to that. You can never top that. Try whatever you want. You can never top that. Anything, nothing anyone can do can top the night he was with the Prophet ﷺ in that ghar ever. And that's the reality. You know, Umar understood it, and that's why humbleness is just knowing the truth of who we are, understanding the truth of ourselves. That's all it is. There's nothing artificial about it. And alayhi salatu wasalam, it came to him naturally. I hope it was that benefit. Sorry for taking much time. Subhanallah, bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in. Hadha huwa habibukum. Sallu alayhi. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaykum.